Yeah, this your boy Kafani the Ice King. You know what I'm talking about? Shout out Mike Shapoo. Boy, so the roaster, Hostile Takeover. You know what I'm saying? Hostile Takeover, man. We taking over the world. It's your boy Kafani, baby.
You got to have a lot of heart. You got to have a lot of soul. You got to have a fat gap. Brother better be strapped.
And we are live. We are live. Check this out. Listen. We getting a lot of rave reviews, man. We keep on bringing the heat. You dig? So once again, Hostile Takeover presents another episode of Keeping It 100 with Joe the Roaster.
And Maisha Poo.
And today, man, we ain't going to even... We're just going to get right into it. We got the young cat, Kafani, in the building.
Kafani.
You know what I'm saying? There's been a lot of controversy with his name in the industry. And a lot of shit goes on with it. And we just want to address some of these issues. First question I would like to ask Kafani. How you doing, baby?
Doing good, man. You know what I'm saying? Living, you feel me?
That's right. That's right.
The best thing to do, be living. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, we appreciate you coming through, man.
Welcome to the show.
For sure, man. I appreciate you being invited, you feel me? As for our scene on the show, it's been all, you know, nothing but top-notch Oakland motherfuckers, so. You know
most definitely.
You know, we can cuss on here.
I have a question.
We don't want to keep it kind of lit, but you know what I'm saying?
Who is Kafani?
Who is Kafani?
Yes.
Kafani? Is destined to rule. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Kafani means. Kafani means destined to rule. I'm destined to rule my kingdom. You know what I'm saying? I'm an individual that's always been a leader, never a follower. And I try to make sure that the people that I'm around in my circle always make sure that I uplift them and make sure they eat with me and be... Not, you know what I'm saying, not a, we all equal, that equal space and keeping we all together as one. You know what I'm saying? That's how I always was with all my peoples in my
making
own way.
Making sure everybody play their position.
Like
everybody
like
play everybody play their position. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I always was. I made sure, I still do to this day.
Yeah.
Everybody in my circle play a position. I make sure we all together as one.
Well,
and
you,
we eat together.
You always seem to be, anytime that I've had a conversation... On encounter with you, you always seem to be an intelligent guy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. In the beginning of your rap career, you know what I'm saying. You really took an independent angle at getting money.
Yeah.
In the music.
Yeah.
Where did you learn that from?
My whole thing with the music. I grew up, you know what I'm saying, watching, watching 42 Short, you know what I'm saying, seeing them come up, I seen how they was grinding and coming up in the 90s, you know what I'm saying, I seen Yuck Mouth on how Yuck Mouth was doing his thing.
Right.
And I seen how Yuck Mouth was like, kind of like flossy, and I always been the type of dude that no matter where I was in my circumstances, whether it was junior high school or something, I'm always was flashy. However was doing it, I was always just like a flashy individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came into the whole rap thing, when I started rapping in 2000. So when I first came up in the rap game, I met Jacka, and I met Jacka. I had this
Rest in Paradise Jacka.
Rest in peace, my boy. I was 21. I had a big ass house in Tracy.
At
21.
Wow.
I had an Escalade. I had a drop 2000 Mustang. A bullet edition special edition Mustang.
The Yum Hip.
I had two bikes, a Suzuki, and I had a one of them Ninjas.
And you was 21.
Wow. Yeah, I was at 21.
Yeah.
So you was rapping back then?
That's when I first started rapping. And I was on my hustle, and then we was getting it. We had the studio in the house. I met Jacka. I put my first project out. My first project that I put out, it dropped in 2002. I ended up going to prison. I went to prison from 2002 to 2004. But this is when I started off before the hyphy movement and everybody started knowing me. But I started off, I did a song with Jacka. I did some shit. My first feature that I did, my first song that I got, it was Old School Sparks. I did with Too Short. I did a song with Short.
Yeah.
I did a song with Cuckoo Cow. What's that song? In My Project. I had a song with him.
So, I want to ask this question because you had all this materialistic stuff.
Yeah.
And you had not blown up in rapping.
No.
So what was you getting this money from?
I was getting the money hustling.
From the street?
Yeah.
Got it out the mud?
Yeah, I got out the mud. But I was getting it out the white collar game.
Right.
I was getting out the white collar before it's called white collar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That was my next question. You wasn't selling drugs or nothing.
I ain't never sold drugs.
In your life?
Nah.
So you all, that's why I say.
I might have tried to sell a few little rocks at the dice game over when I, you know, when I grew up coming up in Funk Town or something, tried to, but that wasn't for me. My first thing I went down, I used to jack niggas. That's what I did in the beginning. I started off on dumb shit, pulling robberies. Got caught, ended up getting caught, and I had to go do a county bullet in Cocoa County.
For a robbery.
That was the first shit I was doing. I was robbing motherfuckers.
Was you like this, or was you jumping in people's windows?
Nah, I was with the pistol.
Okay.
I was up in the pistol.
No, because I said that because a lot of these young cats think they jack artists, and all they are is burglars.
Nah, my case that I went down for, was in Chinatown, and I always knew the motherfuckers. So I always knew that the motherfuckers in Chinatown always had cash. So that's where I go and pull my licks at. No discrimination, nothing like that.
It was just a rumor, I was a jacker too.
Yeah.
And the rumor was that the agents didn't fuck with the banks.
Yeah, they keep cash on them.
Yeah, they keep a lot of cash.
So,
a Buddha outside the house, some old
so
shit.
What we did was, I can talk about it, I convicted of it. So what happened was I pulled the robbery. We followed them from Oakland and we followed them to end up following them to San Ramon. Pulled the robbery, we grabbed the shit. It was like four bands. But the thing about it was, right? This is my head, right? I didn't care about the money when I robbed somebody because you ain't really getting the money, right? What I was doing was I was getting a driver's license, their credit cards, all that shit, right? So you know they go file a police report, right? They go file a police report. So what I would do, I get the information, I call a phone and say, I'm the detective working on your case for the robbery. I said, I think we got some information on them, whatever. So if I don't got their social, I said, I need to verify your social. They don't have any social security. They give me a social security number. And then I get all the information, their mother's maiden name, because I'm the detective on your case. So they give me all the information because you know they changed their credit card, right?
So I take the credit card.
And then I know they're rerouted, but my dumb ass, I'm young. I get them when they didn't close their credit card account. I go call back and say, nah, I don't want the credit card to go to my house. I want to go to this alternate address. My dumb ass is sending it to my apartment building to another apartment.
Uh-huh.
And then I put my name as authorized user and I ain't tripping. And then we slide in the credit cards. And so I was giving my money. I robbed motherfuckers, but I wasn't robbing them to get their money. I was robbing to get their ID,
yeah.
And then I call them, get their information, and I hit big.
Wow.
That's how I was doing it.
Yeah, that's
crazy. And then it was crazy because I was at my girlfriend at the time, ex-wife or whatever. I went to her graduation party, and the night before, we had robbed somebody. And now my car, I had a 98 Honda Elantra, brand new, because this was 99. So my back car got hit by an old woman hit my car, so my bumper was off. So me and my little nigga had hit a lick. we licked this Asian dude, right? We licked him, he was in Funk Town. So we licked him, whatever. So then we go to her we go to her graduation party at the little Vietnamese restaurant down right by there's a little Vietnamese restaurant that's right down there by where Arsimona's used to be at the Vietnamese restaurant.
Right.
So we go up in that motherfucker, and I look, I see the dude I had robbed last night. And I said, man, God, man, this motherfucker don't see me. I'm spooked. Like, you don't see me. And he also was with a nigga that I played football with at the school. He was with a dude that I actually knew was sitting with. I'm like, I hope this motherfucker don't recognize me from.
Wait, so when you were going to their house, you didn't wear a mask?
Nah, I put if I follow somebody, nah, I didn't have no mask. We just follow them. Like, we'll watch you from where you going, like coming out your restaurant or whatever, and then we'll follow you. And once you get to the house,
no mask.
No mask. We just straight up jacket. We just getting away with the shit.
So did he recognize you?
Nah, he didn't recognize me. And I told myself I'd never pull a robbery again.
Guess what?
The next night, I pulled that one robbery that I told you about
that
I ended up getting caught.
Yeah.
And then I caught a county bullet. Now I was going to San Francisco State at the time.
Straight up.
I graduated from Oakland High, and you know what I'm saying, I was going to college, but I was still fucking with my niggas that I grew up with or whatever. A few couple of niggas in Funktown that I kicked it with, the few niggas that I did kick it with at that time from Funktown, who I kicked it with. That's who I, you know, we all still out pulling licks, going
most
to school.
Most definitely. Okay. That's some great information.
Yeah.
Because it basically segues into some other things that I want to ask you. And one of those things is your music.
Yeah.
What was your most successful project?
My most successful project was my song that for the album that I did, Fast Like a NASCAR, when I did Money's My Motivation, that dropped on Koch. And that was my most successful, that was my best
song.
So
how
that
much,
song blew up.
How much success have you seen from the NASCAR song?
Shit, I made a few million from that song.
Right.
And then the video,
I was just watching the video. I don't know if I had the right video, but it don't even have a million views on it.
Nope. Don't even got a million views.
But you made millions from the song because of endorsements and things of that nature.
And I just saw it on the
Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Sweetie sampled it.
You got to check for that?
Yeah.
Of course. So you own the masters.
Yes, I own the masters. How I end up getting my masters from?
Who?
Is a person that you don't like, but he my boy, but you know.
I don't
100.
Like him.
Nah, you don't like Whack.
I love Whack.
He love Whack. I love Whack. Whack got on some real
shit. Me and Whack got a relationship.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Me and Whack got a relationship. We go way back. I was doing business with him. I did a song with Ray J, some other shit. I've been doing business with him coming through the industry. And he was the one that went up to E1 because they was trying to play. And he went up there and At this time, this was before the Death Row, before Snoop got the Death Row catalog.
Yeah.
He was running the Death Row catalog. Plus, he had Game over there. He had Blueface, some other artists. So he had a move in place. Now, what happened was Lou Burrell Hammer, older brother, was managing Sweetie at the time when this situation came up. So he went to Wack because Wack had all the situation going on. So E1 told Lou that they was going to give us the masters. They started playing because we needed the masters before her record came out, because they sent it to Koch, not coming to me. So I ended up getting in contact, and they came and got at me, and I let them know, nah, this is my shit. And I go over my contract. I'm supposed to have my masters back in 2012 because they went bankrupt. And in my contract, I did such a dope contract with Koch that I was to get my masters back after 5 years. I had all my publishing. I get my masters back. I got an upfront check, $150,000 advance. Artists weren't getting that type of money. They don't get them type of advances.
Right.
Got $150,000 upfront for the album. And honestly, in the hyphy movement, from Oakland, the only two artists to actually drop an album during the hyphy movement, besides 40 and Party Short, was just me and Keek.
Right.
We dropped on Koch. Nobody else. I mean, like, Fab got his deal, but it didn't. He didn't drop an album, or like Big Rich dropped the album. But I'm saying it's Oakland on Oakland shit.
Right, right, right.
We was the only two that actually in the hyphy movement,
yeah,
to drop an actually album that we dropped through Koch. They got a deal, and actually my deal was bigger than Keith's deal.
Yeah.
And so they gave me 150 bands, got all my publishing, and I get all my masters back in 5 years. So moving up to now to present, they was trying to. They was basically not trying to get the masters up. They was trying to run loopholes. They was trying to say they paid for the video. Nah, they didn't have no accounting on my album, the track or nothing. They had none of the accounting on nothing. Because they just gave my bread, and then it was just like whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so at the end of the day, I had been doing business with WAC, and I had did some shows with Blueface and some other, you know, other shit. And so WAC fucked me. He's like, dude, Oakland in the wheelchair, that's him? He's like, I'll fuck with dude. He said, well, I'm gonna make this phone call up here to them, and I'm gonna tell them if they don't sign a release to his shit, to release him, then I'm not gonna give them what they need or whatever he had going on.
Right. And so it was a barter.
And he got my master's release in 72
hours. That's great. Shout out WAC 100.
And so now, that's how all that I was able to get a big check.
So, you experiencing, in the beginning of you experiencing the success from the song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You, when was it? So, as a matter of fact, hold on. We're going to come back to this. We're going to go on a commercial break right quick, and we're going to come back to this. We'll be back with you in a second. Stay tuned.
Ooh, okay. Boucher butter skincare line with 100% shea butter and essential oils.
Wow.
9 fragrances for women and body scrubs. 5 fragrances for men. Travel size in all fragrances. Try before you buy. Samples can be sent to you.
So we got to review this, Jeannie, from a scale of 1 to 10. This is an amazing product.
I give this product an 8.5.
Jeannie, give it an 8.5. Jeannie, I know if any guy smell this on you. This is a 9, y'all. I'm just telling y'all. This is a 9. I give it a 9.
Oh my God, it makes me so shiny. Oh yes.
Let me see.
Oh yes.
Mm-mm. Y'all gonna be jealous because if y'all
look
smell
how
it.
How shiny you look.
Yeah. I like to shine sometimes, you know.
Oh, yes. This is the one.
All right, now we back. Keeping it 100 with Zoda Roaster.
Mike Japoo.
And we're talking to Kafani today. We're going to get deep right now because there's a lot of things that I want to know personally. And I know some people, you know what I'm saying, don't really know. So this is for the people that don't know. In the beginning of your success, you know, you got your shit going. You're doing the thing. When was it that you start getting into it with Filthy?
What happened with the situation with Filthy was me and Filthy, you know what I'm saying? He came up when I first was rapping. When I was rapping Babyface Fastens, he was my nigga Cash from seminary, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Used to pick Filthy up and, you know what I mean?
Right.
When they first had him coming on the turf and Fame, you know, I fuck with Dame Fame and all the shit. And I met Filthy, you know what I'm saying? Filthy was, when he was coming up, when I was a Babyface Assassin, it's like, shit, Filthy is wearing our shirts, like with the other entourage of other people who support
right,
us.
Right.
And we had, you know, hella seminary niggas around us.
Yeah.
And we had all my other niggas. We got niggas from Richmond. We got niggas from the 80s. I got niggas from the bottoms. We all came together forming the Babyface.
And for the record, where you from?
I'm from Funktown.
Okay.
But I've been all around, like my family from the bottoms, from Camel Village.
Yeah.
Been around there. Also grew up, my dad, my pops, I grew up on 43rd and Market, so around there. And also, 43rd and Market, and also by Mosswood Park. 30.
Right.
So I kind of been all over, but my whole life I grew up in Funktown.
Right.
I was in Funktown all the way until I called my robbery case.
So that's your deepest roots?
That's my deepest roots. I grew up there. My mama ended up moving from the same apartment that we stayed in for hella years. She ended up moving out in 2012. So after 2012, I have no disconnect over there. Cause once I got grown, then I moved on. So none of the youngsters or none of that ain't gonna know me because I done got grown and moved on to bigger and better things. But now I'm back in like 2009, 2008, I was staying right in Fontown. I was staying passing through the hood every day. I was standing in the high rises right there on 1200 Lakeshore. Mm-hmm. I stayed there with Steph Curry, stayed there, and Klay Thompson.
Right.
I stayed there to around 2012. That's when I moved because I was staying there in front. You know what I'm saying? I used to have my Bentley and shit parked outside Maserati. I used to slide through, but I really didn't fuck with nobody from up over there. But that's my roots.
So he was supporting you at one point.
Who, Filthy? Yeah.
How did it turn around?
He was supporting us like when he first was coming up as a rapper. Like he was like Larry. I got video, all the shit. He got our shirts on, all the shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got from that. He used to come to my studio, and you know what I'm saying? I used to let him open up. Like when I brought Gucci out here, I let him open up with Gucci.
Yeah.
What else? Shit. When he was doing all his songs, when he was over there at the office with May and Dang, when they had the studio up over there.
Yeah.
I did like 5-6 songs with him. You know what I'm saying?
Outside of him getting your t-shirts, how did he support you? Because it sounded like you supported him, allowing him to come into your studio and do that. What did he do for you?
He ain't never did nothing for me. I always just gave to him. He never did anything for me.
Opposed to
I was always
wearing your t-shirts and things of that nature.
Yeah, in the beginning, you know, yeah.
Yeah, so how did it get fucked up?
So what happened was, Raven Justice was my artist.
Right.
At one point in time, me and you had a conversation dealing with a situation.
Right.
That we had to deal with Raven. I had Raven signed. Raven had did a song, and me and Raven wasn't cool at this time.
We was
kind of off. And he did this song called Slide Through. And Slide Through had Keek on it, and it had Filthy on it. So I ended up hearing about the song. I didn't even know about the song and shit.
Right.
And I think Big Von started playing on the radio. So at the time, it was a program director at Cameo named Kennard. And we had some stuff. We had some, dealings on trying to get, like, because I had a meeting to get Raven signed to, like, 5 different labels. Like, I had, like, just blew his shit up.
Right.
So what ended up happening was on Slide Through, the program director went to Raven and said he want to make it an all R&B song. He want to take the rappers off or whatever. So Raven went to the studio and he did a version after, because then by the, so we got back. So this some business shit. We on some business. There's some business shit going down. So Kennard told me the idea. I'm like, Keek, I'm not worried about Filthy. I'm like, Keek, my brother. I'm like, you need to leave Keek on the record. Like, Keek, that's what's going to make the song blow. Is Keek mm-hmm. going to make the song blow.
Right.
So, at the end of the day, the program director told him he wanted him just to make it all R&B.
So they took Filthy off the song?
So, no. He took Keek, everybody, Keek and Filthy
so
off the song.
So he wanted to be all R&B.
That's what the radio station wanted, all
right,
R&B.
Right.
So he took that. But even though he made it all R&B, the other DJs was still playing the other version. But they heard, I guess Filthy heard a version with just Raven Justice on it by itself.
Right.
And Raven Justice didn't call him. Because I didn't have no dealing with Filthy, because I didn't have nothing to do with none of that.
Right.
It wasn't none of my business on that situation.
Yeah.
My situation is just working with the pro. When the pro, he playing a song on the radio, I don't give a fuck what song he playing on the radio. Because think about it. If I'm going to take you off the song, I'm going to take y'all off the song, I will put myself on the record. If I'm hating on a nigga, I'm going to put myself on a song.
Yeah.
I didn't put myself on a song.
Yeah, but you just said earlier that Keek, you was okay with him. You didn't care about Filthy. You think maybe he...
No, I'm saying... Why would I... why would Keek get taken off the song? You see what I'm saying? Keek got taken off the song.
Because Keek has a following.
Keek has the following.
And Filthy really song. Never had the following.
No, he had no following at that time or
nothing. Right,
like
right, 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 right.
So,
I could dig it.
So if why would I, you know, I'm not, I didn't, I wouldn't support, I wouldn't have supported him taking the rappers off. I said I like the song better with the rap. Mm. But the dude wanted to go with that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, shit, he finna play the record on the radio. We don't give a fuck what he play. Well, I don't give a fuck what version he playing.
Right.
He get this
right.
shit to go get a record deal. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Yeah. So
it's business.
It's business. Yeah. So yeah. ended up happening was, I didn't know that Raven didn't tell him they took him off the song. I don't know none of this. All I see is, next thing I know, I see Filthy going bad on Raven. On Twitter, he going bad
yeah.
on him.
Yeah.
I didn't even get in it. I just let them do what they do. And so what ended up happening was, you know, a little situation with the when my ex chick put the little picture out and shit on me. She put the little picture. Yeah. She put the little picture out.
Okay.
And so then it was a picture that she basically it was a picture where I didn't have no clothes on. I was naked. I was on my laptop and I was kind of laying in the fetal position. And she fucked around. She fucked around and called my name and said something. And said something funny. I looked and she took a picture. I didn't even know she took the picture. Took a picture. And so what happened was, she got mad because it was her birthday. I spent hella bread on her birthday. And so we go home drunk, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to fuck. And she ain't trying to fuck. I get mad. I leave like, man, fuck it. Man, I ain't worried about you, you know what I'm saying? I said, watch. I'm saying tomorrow I'm about to post some other bitches on Instagram and go fuck with some other bitches. And I left her house. Got her mad. So I go to the roof, Chris. I got four females with me and my one partner, one of those girls, and it was three chicks, and I had messed with the three chicks and whatever, and I took a picture with all four of them and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, you better take that picture down or I'm going to embarrass your ass. I'm like, man, fuck you. You know what I mean? I ain't going to fuck with her. The next
you don't know she got that picture with you in the fetal position.
Yeah.
You don't know she got that picture.
I never even knew about the picture.
They said your penis was tucked and pulled to the back.
It said it wasn't mine. I was laying on the bed. How anybody would be laying in the bed in the fetal position? I was on my laptop, just laying down, like.
But you know, I'm just telling you what the media was. I never saw the picture.
Why would
I never was looking for the motherfucking picture?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you niggas is gay. Why would you? Why would y'all want to see me with my nuts? If my nuts stuck?
Yeah. So that was the whole thing, though. A nigga getting his picture taken naked. That's not even no. You can take a picture of me naked. I let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Anybody got the camera?
But I'm saying, like, you just spent hella bread on the chick, and she took a picture of you.
Yeah.
She out of pocket.
Yeah, she out of pocket.
I mean, that's
good. Yeah, and then like, he don't even know she took the picture.
Right. Like, so she had intentions.
So now you being a player, you think you doing some player shit. I got these bitches up here. Next thing you know, this picture is on the thing.
Yeah.
With you in fetal position,
yeah.
With your shit hanging out,
yeah.
And now that give everybody ammunition to get at the funny nigga.
This is the first time they can get at me because you know what I'm saying. You know how I was moving. You know
how'd you feel?
What
when that shit when niggas start talking about that picture, they start showing that picture. How did you feel?
I didn't give a fuck.
You didn't feel violated?
I mean, at the time. I feel disrespected by her.
Yeah.
You feel me doing what she's doing?
Yeah. Right.
I feel disrespected about that, but just the overall situation, I ain't give a fuck. It is what it is.
Right. Exactly.
You know it is what it is. So.
Maybe because you got some big nuts.
He was letting his nuts hang.
But the picture, you couldn't even see my nut. You couldn't see my shit. You know what I mean? You didn't even see nothing. It was whatever. But so basically, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, motherfucker clout chased. He clout chased. He seen, you know how I used to move mean with all my people, my crew, how I used to be hella deep and moving mean.
Right.
And at the time, during that time we was moving, at that time my cousins and all that, we fell out. Me and my cousins that fell out or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he knew we fell out because we was on Instagram bickering about it. So they made phone calls and motherfuckers made phone calls and knew it was good.
There was a weakness.
Because the nigga knew, they think with me with all my cousins a weakness. Cause I don't got the muscle behind me, so it was like confining weak without the muscle. So now we are trying, cause you know he gonna try him cause we don't got the muscle. Cause niggas done seen we done put demos out on niggas and shootouts and all with the business. Anybody who know us and know the history of me and we probably get into it later into the story about how I be move, how I was moving and doing all my thing back there.
Right, right.
No nigga, none of them fake rap ass niggas wouldn't test me or do nothing like that. They'd know right. what happened to them.
Right.
So, but he was able to get, he was able to have that. It was basically like that, you know, got that, yeah. got that go ahead. So right. he made a song and he said, DB a bitch, Messy Marvel snitch and Kafani gay. So that's one word he said. So I'm like, man, I'm finna go in on this nigga because I know so much about this nigga.
Right.
So I'm finna go in. You see what I'm saying? So I, so that's when, the, so I'm having fun. I, it was fun. So I'm saying
like a rap beef, like yeah, it was, yeah, hip hop.
Yeah, it was some hip hop shit, and yeah. I knew a lot of shit about him. So I'm going in on facts on him. Then I get the little, I get the little picture of a bitch sitting on his face. You know what I'm saying? And on the song I make Filthy Bitch, I got the song with the bitch on, you know, sitting on his face. You know what I'm talking about? So I put that out there. So we just going back, like playing the dozens. You know what I'm saying? Then we on Twitter going back and all talking shit, LOL, LOLs and all this. And so I end but you know what I'm saying? I felt like, you know, when he did that diss, when he did the diss to me, I'm like, why this nigga would do a diss? Why would that nigga diss me, nigga? He supposed to be my nigga.
Right.
You feel
right.
me? I'm like, he go around and tell y'all like we wasn't cool, but so that nigga was at every show. Yeah, he started it. He made a diss song. I ain't do nothing else. He now he comes
well,
back and
well,
says
what
he says now
me,
that
me listening to the story, he see that's why I say CTAC, communication to avoid confrontation.
Yeah.
Because he had no idea that you didn't take him off that song.
No.
See, he thought And if you had anything
said,
to do with
he
it,
said Raven, he because he said Raven told him that Kafani right. took him off the song.
Well, if you was if it was your song, and you had creative control over the song, then a person might feel that you know what he didn't even fight for me to stay on the song yeah. if we was cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But people don't understand business is business. Quick story, and we're gonna get back to it. I had a song Squeeze on him.
Yeah, I know.
It was getting hot in the street. You know, everybody was talking about Zoda Roaster.
Yeah.
D-Lo had the song No Ho.
Yeah.
They went to go do a remix of the song. I told J-Mo, nigga, I'm getting hot in the street. Let me on a song.
Yeah.
He said, no, I can't get on a song.
Yeah.
I got upset about that. But then we sat down and we communicated. He's like, Zo, man, this is business.
Yeah.
And we gonna put Fody on there. We gonna put they put a few other motherfuckers on there. But I understood it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you putting some people on there that has an audience that I don't have.
That you don't have, yeah.
And you're trying to blow this individual up and then I could be next in line.
In line. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the fact that you know, he didn't understand all that
yeah.
at the time though, and it could have been resolved with a conversation.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Opposed to you guys being childish.
Yeah.
And getting at each other on Twitter and doing that shit though, which led to you being in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So and getting back to that,
mm-hmm.
what made you feel that it was cool to go film a video on seminary,
well,
where you guys were in a negative exchange.
Yeah,
what made you feel that was cool?
Well, what I felt was on a situation. I felt like for me, there's knowing the ins and outs. He from the ins and outs niggas. I was with seminary niggas. I'd be around. I was around nothing but my whole crew of niggas that I kick it hang with. It's seminary niggas, so
right,
and it's a lot of seminary niggas that wasn't, you know what I'm saying, wasn't feeling him from doing the little shit on the it was a lot of niggas who didn't feel him when he did the little documentary shit
right
on the thing, so niggas wasn't,
when he talked about a murder or something,
yeah, they wasn't
right.
So niggas on film, especially Bromley niggas, weren't feeling him because that talking about the shit about shooting at the police can't come down, this a lot of niggas got wrapped up in that case, so a lot of niggas weren't feeling him like that. So I had niggas with me from Sim, OG niggas from Sim, all shit, when we went to go do it. So I wasn't going to disrespect seminary. I was going over there. That's the whole thing was, I wasn't even finna go to right where I shot the video. I was finna go to the holy shop.
Right.
But the little chick I was with, it was a car, said she had to pee. So I pulled over to the side and let, like, you got to get out and piss. And then
I might as well shoot a shot.
And no, so when she pissing, the cameraman, like, shit, we should just pull right here and shoot a shot.
Right.
And I'm not thinking in my head. I wasn't even paying attention. That was some niggas across the street, and I got my music blasting loud. And then my partners, my partners who got the hammers and shit, they wasn't paying attention that I just drifted off. So I literally just drifted off and walked over here and was there. And it was like cash out keys and it was cash out keys and it was somebody else and a cameraman. Now, they didn't. When we shooting the little parts, I got the music up. I don't see no niggas. So
right, right.
Basically, I guess while I'm doing what I'm doing, the dude walk up, he got a hoodie on or whatever, and he asked one nigga what y'all doing. They saying you shooting a video. Then he walked up on Keith. He didn't ever say nothing. And Keith said he put his hand out to the dude, and dude told him to bag up. Boop. So then dude walk up on me. You know what I'm saying? Dude walk up on me, and of course me, I had some drinks in my system. You feel me? And I walk up to the nigga, and that nigga like, what you doing up over here shooting a video about my partner? So I'm like, what? I'm like, who is you? I'm like, what's your name? He said, what's my name? I said, you got a pistol on you or something? He's like, do it look like I got a pistol on me? And then it was like one of them moves, and then I was like, I kind of walked up on him, and he's like, bag back. And then I like rose my hand to my like, hey, to my niggas, and that's when he upped it. And I tried to, I don't know what the fuck happened after that. I got hit in the neck,
right
in the neck right here. And a gray bullet that went through on my by my chest right here.
Yeah, the wounds that ultimately paralyzed you.
Yeah, the one bullet that went through my neck is the one that actually did the most damage. It was a hollow, so it hit the hollow. It missed my heart. It hit my lung. It hit my lung, and then it hit the spinal thing. And then basically what happened was, I guess from the time I got shot, and the chick, she rushed, her and one of my partners, they threw me in a whip, because I'm telling them, I'm dead, I'm shot in the neck. And they like, nah, you ain't dead, you feel me? I just took it, like I was gone. I'm like, man, I'm dead. They like, nah, you ain't dead. So they put me they threw me in a whip. And smashed me to Highland,
mm-hmm.
Got me to Highland. When I got to Highland, my nigga picked me up, and he said, he was like stones, and he dropped me on the ground. Like, my whole shit got fucked up, because I had to get my jaw was broken three spots, and I got wire, you know, I got screws and metal all through my jaw right now.
Right, right.
From when all that happened. And so, as you know, for the medical people to come work on you, they need a code 4 from the police.
Mm-hmm.
They never got a code 4, because when you come to a crime scene, to the hospital, that's a crime scene.
Right.
So what this dude, shout out Brian, I always shout him out, and every time I have to tell his story, they picked me up, put me on a gurney. He jumped on me, hit me, because I'm gone. My niggas think I'm gone. They all think I'm dead.
Yeah.
He hit me on a thing, and they get me to the back. And when they get me to the back on the medical reports, it was at DOA, and it took them once they got me to the back, it took them like a minute to revive me. They had to hit me with the adrenaline and whatever they got to do, and then they had to hit me with the paddles and all the shit.
Right.
And they got my heartbeat, and then they had to rush me to surgery because I had got shot through the lung.
Right.
And they had to cut a piece of my lung off. So you know, a lung shot is the most devastating shot you could take.
Most devastating.
So it's like 99%. It was like 99.9% of people, I shouldn't be here talking to
so,
you right now.
So from that understanding, do you feel blessed?
Yeah.
You feel blessed?
Yeah, I'm living a second life.
No doubt about it.
And that experience taught me a whole lot. And it's crazy, because I didn't see so many rappers that I know and just rappers.
Okay, hold
die.
On. Let me. All I right. want to cut you off right
All
there.
Right, let's go.
Because you said it taught you a whole lot. But I just saw a video where you were on seminary again.
Yeah.
While in this state.
Yeah.
Filming a video.
Yeah.
So what did it teach you?
Well, that situation, it was more of a situation of a personal situation of a man telling me, sitting there telling me that I can't go somewhere. I'm from Oakland. By me being from Oakland, I can go anywhere I want to in Oakland.
And you'll risk your life about it.
I'm gonna risk whatever. I go wherever I go. I feel like I will, can go anywhere in Oakland. Now I'm from Oakland. I can go anywhere in Oakland. I don't care. Like, I'm sitting right here with you. I'm in Oakland. I'm in your spot. You know what I'm saying? By myself.
But the truth of the matter, like, though, is the truth of the matter is, if I was at it with somebody,
yeah,
I would not feel that I could go anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm 51.
Yeah.
I've been at war.
Yeah.
The reason I could go places now is because I was a winner.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was a winner. Now I could go
where
the fuck I want to go. I've earned that right.
Yeah.
But if you at odds with somebody,
mm-hmm.
you do not venture into enemy territory without being fully prepared.
Yeah.
Or and you don't advertise it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't advertise it. If it's funky, it's funky.
Yeah.
And then that's how you handle that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm only saying this because I like you, Kafani.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see brothers like you, like me, or anybody else put themselves in situations where it alters their life to whereas you can't walk anymore. You know, I'm talking about, that's a quality of life that you know is given to us that belongs to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when you put yourself in a situation for it to happen, that means you only care about you.
Yeah.
You probably got kids and everything.
Yeah.
I think about mine now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put myself in a situation where somebody could take my life and take me away from my kids.
Exactly.
My responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And my loved ones. I'm not going to be that selfish.
Yeah.
So that's why I was saying, did you learn?
Yeah, I think at that point it was more of an ego pride type of situation, but motherfucker telling me I can't go somewhere.
Yeah, that's what it was at first.
So, at first it wasn't about going to nobody's, it never was nothing about going to, when I went to seminary.
When you went and that shit first happened, you was coming to seminary. It was about, because that's how people be doing.
Yeah.
They'll say, what, nigga, you ain't tough. I'm on your block.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm at the gravesite, nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People get emotional about that shit, and they want to respond.
Yeah.
We know that Filthy had nothing to do with that call.
Yeah.
That was somebody else.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't Filthy's spot.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, I understand.
So you were violating
other
people's shit.
Yeah, I understand that.
And you did it through emotions,
and
you did it through you trying to show, you know what I'm saying, how raw you.
Tell me nothing.
Yeah, nigga can't tell you nothing.
Yeah.
But, and that's not how you deal with shit.
Exactly.
If it's funky, it's funky.
Yeah.
They couldn't see me coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. And after it was over, they didn't see me leaving.
Off top.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
So, just some education.
Yeah.
To whereas, if you ever, see, your life, I've been watching on the internet, I've been watching you, and it's been consumed with crazy shit.
Yeah.
You're getting caught up, going to jail, you're on an ankle monitor right now, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers accusing you of being a rat, and I came to you, you know what I'm saying, to help you with that situation.
Yeah, because that situation, like we know, that situation was somebody put something on the internet, and, you know, after me and Filthy cleared everything up, like, we ain't, you know, like, everything good, we cool with each other. Like, I'm cool, you know, me and Filthy, shout out Filthy Rich.
Shout out Filthy, he came up here.
It ain't nothing.
Silence that for me, please.
You know, right now at this time,
we're good,
and when we talked about that, he cleared that up, Right. Did your brother shoot me? No. Did I go on a stand on your brother? No. None of that happened. And he cleared it up like he cleared it up on the phone. But he cleared, like, you know what I'm saying, in the beginning, we probably should have had the conversation how we did it with you. It should have been
That's all right. Of us
could have put it out there. Like, you know, it came through you, but it should have been just us just clearing it all the way in the air like right. That in the beginning. Because when I first come home from prison, I'm seeing motherfuckers rat. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So this right. Shit got me hot.
Right.
Like, motherfuckers talking about a rat. What the fuck? A rat? Come on. That's the lowest thing you call a motherfucker.
No doubt about it.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to clear this. We need to clear this up right now. Because this, you know what I'm saying? This is going to get this shit back, you know, get this shit back going. And, right. So when we ended the shit, you know what I'm saying? He basically explained that it was some dude that made a fake website. That made a website and made all that shit up, and the dude had been trying to doing hella shit, posting hella shit about doing hella shit to him, posting hella different fake shit about him when I was down, didn't have nothing, no knowledge of.
Right.
And that same web page is still up. So you know, you got fans who don't know. You know, the fans, these motherfuckers don't know nothing. They just go off what they see. So that's how that whole little allegation. So on that particular situation, we ended up, you know, clearing that situation up.
Right.
Now, the thing is what started everything back up was, honestly, and we'll flare shit up, it's fucking Vlad bitch ass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Vlad always going back and telling my story and bringing it up. And then Vlad this time is Lavish D was on there, and he was talking about, man, when it come to seem like when you and Filthy come around on some this shit, it's always some violent shit happening, and you know, building, you know, he building it all the way up, and then, you know what I'm saying, and then he bring the story up again.
Right.
Now what you got, motherfuckers got to realize is I got loved ones. I got people out there that's out there stepping, like little cousins right. that I don't even know that right. come over to me in my ear, like, nigga, I want to get that nigga 50. Yeah, I want to get, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
I got little young motherfucking cousins coming to me talking about they want to, you know, they, I got, you know, a little cousin right now in jail for a double murder and some crazy shit. And these niggas out here, these young niggas is out here crazy doing right. shit. And so by Thanks. Vlad keep on putting this shit out there, my peoples is getting mad. About this shit is rehashing this shit up, and it's motherfuckers that'll do something to somebody just because they want to prove a point. Because,
no doubt about it.
Because at the same time, me and you had a conversation. We talked, and you told me, man, I looked this man in the eye and talked to this man. We didn't talk on the phone. We met up in Vegas and woo woo. You told me, you said that man had nothing to do with that man. I looked at that man in his eye, and that man had nothing to do with that. You told me that.
No doubt about it.
And you know what I'm saying? And I had people in my ear. And I told motherfuckers, I told motherfuckers when it came down, the people came to the hospital or whatever, I'm like, bruh, don't do nothing. Don't let shit go. It's hella fast shit. We have hella shit going on.
Right, right,
they
right.
had a SimCity, indictment shit going on at
right.
that time.
Right.
When they came to try to talk to me about the shooting and shit, it was FBI. And OPD, because I think FBI and OPD at that time was connected doing some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anybody who's telling me anything, I'm telling them, man, be cool. Because you know what I'm saying, on my case, I just caught, you know what I'm saying, the motherfucker in my case that I had caught my Fed case, that motherfucker, you know, the dude that ratted on me got murdered. So now, you know what I'm saying, it's all documented.
On which case?
On my first Fed case.
Okay.
The dude that snitched on me,
mm-hmm.
he wore a wire and did some other shit, and he and somebody murdered him.
Right.
And so, you know what I'm saying? As far as I know, he got killed because he was robbed a drug dealer girlfriend or some shit, and they knocked him off. But from the Fed standpoint, I had him knocked off. You feel me? That's what they was trying to push. That's what they put on record saying when I was going to my detention hearing trying to hold me in, that they believed I had something to do with the murder and this and that and that. They had showed a picture. Me and Jay Stalin had a show in San Rafael, and some dude got knocked out from Marin or something, and they had a shoot. They started shooting and shit outside, and so we got out the show. We leaving the show that night, about to leave off. We get pulled over by the police they pulling everybody over because they trying to kick them up for the guns. If you got to, you know, get the driver, if you don't got no L's or whatever, search right, and try right, to find right. for guns. So I took a picture and put it on Instagram. Shit just got real. When I posted that picture and said shit just got real, the dude that snitched on me who got murdered, he got murdered right at that time, around that time frame. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to say that that picture I took was I was taking this picture at the crime scene of the murder. Okay. Like, right. I'm a stupid ass, I'm going to take a picture of at the murder scene.
Right.
That's what they said.
So what are you on an ankle monitor now for?
What I'm on an ankle monitor now for is I can't really talk about my case because...
No. I'm not asking you to get... Like, what is your charges?
Oh, my charges is identity theft, wire fraud, some shit.
But did you ever get back cool with your cousins?
Oh, yeah, we good. I mean, my cousin was good. Rest in peace, my cousin, Big Harry. Big Harry from Cameron Village.
That was my guy.
Yeah, my cousin just got killed, and that shit hurt me to the core because that was my brother. He was with me. He was with me my whole career. When I first started, he was with me by my side. You know what I'm saying? Family members fall out. And we all my family members, we have fell out, whatever. We, you know, got back cool. We family. So we always, you know,
right.
blood thicker than water. So we all was good, and it's crazy because... You know, me and him, I just went and got lobster, and he treated me out to some lobster and crab burgers and shit. We was chilling. I went to the family reunion shooting dice, and
that's just crazy chilling. How, like you said, you know, when you guys fell out, niggas try to test you.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes, like, your family, when you family, even if you fall out, they still got your back.
Yeah.
So an outsider shouldn't even feel like they could try to test you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What do you think your family put out the energy, or like what would make them think they can test you just because you got into it with your family?
Yeah, because they got into my family and my family was talking and shit. Because like, yeah, my family was, you know, talking and, you know, saying like slapping his music in the background, motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker had stole some shit at the studio. Motherfucker gave him the picture of the studio when we was going back and forth doing a little childish play, you know, right. playing a dozen shit. He showed a picture of the studio equipment and all that type of shit that was going back and forth. So
after going through all this and experiencing all this success, some failure, and to feel blessed now, where are you at in your life today?
My life today, right now, you know what I'm saying? I just finished, I'm in the process of getting my book published.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Resilient, built by nature, you know what I'm saying? By the rapper, you know, Kafani, living life, dealing with paralysis. And in my book, I go real deep into like my upbringing and all the shit that happened in the music,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And it tells a story, my story of how, you know, everything that people really don't know.
You have a fascinating story, though.
Yeah, we have a, you know, like my story really could, really will eventually, I know, will turn into a movie eventually.
Right.
Somebody, the right person gonna see it. My story's gonna turn into a movie because, like you said, it's fascinating. And it shows how you go from the bottom to the top to the bottom, go back to the top and go back down. Life is ups and downs.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I could be riding a bucket. I could be riding a Bentley back to a bucket, you know, to whatever. I can deal with whatever situation I'm in. That's what I'm in. You know what I'm saying? And I've been able to deal with it. No matter what it was, I've been able to deal with it. And right now, you know what I'm saying? I feel that, I'm going through, like, even though dealing with some shit, stuff in the legal system, I'm gonna deal with that. I got a strong support system, so we're gonna get through that
right.
and handle that situation, whatever it is, we're gonna deal with it. Right now, I'm riding on some highs, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Getting commercials on Super Bowls.
That's dope.
Every major TV show has been playing the beat in the background, you know what I'm saying? From the shit last night, the other night they played the Fresh Prince. They had it on that show.
Bel Air.
Yeah, they just had it on there. The last episode, they had that. By the time we see this, but I think it was episode, I don't know, probably five or something.
Right.
I don't know. But I've been on movies, all type of stuff, man. Like, I got an agency. Like, I just did a, I can't really talk about it, but I just did a, like, casting, because they looking for, like, wheelchair, you know, people,
actors,
because, you know, right now where they got this whole everything, they want the actors to be authentic. They want them to be that real person, you know what I'm saying? So,
you know, like, I got Drake was in a wheelchair and he wasn't really, really paralyzed.
Yeah, so they want somebody.
That fucked me up.
Yeah.
Man, this nigga walking?
Yeah.
He acted good.
So that so instead of Drake playing that that role, it'd be me playing that role.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying? So I got a I got an agent and all that. But
So things are clicking for you now, man.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So you know how life got it. You know, life got its journeys and paths, and you know, you got like I said, like my dad, rest in peace, told me. He said, man, fast like a NASCAR. He said, I don't know. He said it might be 10, 20 years from now, but he's like, that song gonna get you a lot of recognition. You gonna make some more millions off that motherfucking song.
Right.
And that shit came to fruition. And they might probably, and you know how that shit go, motherfucker might use that shit again. But I got, you know what I'm saying? I got hits under my belt. I mean, I got that She Ready song, that go crazy, motherfuckers still play that to this day. I got records that I put out that people still listen to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And right now I got a new album out called Suicide. And that album is like my deepest album because it's my first time that where I'm rapping and telling stories. I'm telling stories about my situation and what I'm dealing with.
Right.
I ain't just making party music. I'm telling like what I'm feeling and what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So my music is kind of changing. I'm doing everything I'm doing to show people that no matter what situation you in, right, it's always somebody in a worse situation than you.
Yeah, most definitely.
No matter what, it's always somebody in a situation worse than you.
And appreciate your position.
Exactly.
And your situation.
Yes. And with that being said, my motivation is to show somebody else that think they can't do something, I'm showing what I'm doing, I can do it. I just dropped right now. I know for sure ain't nobody in the Bay Area's done. I don't know anywhere else, but I dropped 14 songs and I dropped 9 videos straight. And I put all 9 videos on one YouTube link for the whole album.
Straight up.
I just dropped that on Suicide. It's one thing, and then from
how
there.
How long did it take that to load?
What?
9 videos on one.
It was only like 30. The album only gonna be like what, 30 minutes? I don't know how long it should take. I don't know. The technical people did
it
all
don't
that.
No matter, you did it.
Motherfuckers in here, motherfuckers in
you
Empire.
You did some Beyonce shit.
And so with that, then I'm taking all the, you know, the, all then from there I'm gonna release certain videos and put them out or let certain other websites that want to get it the video. You know what I'm
saying? So are you gonna continue to focus on your growth and development and trying to be successful at what it is that you love?
Yeah, I'm gonna continue. My thing in life right now is that I touched a lot of people. I done worked with a lot of artists. I done worked with a lot of directors, models. I done worked with so many different people that end up getting big. So, you know, just from being the first person working with me and seeing where from them working with me to what places I helped them and where they at now.
Right.
So I got a lot of success. I got a lot of success stories from a lot of people who worked with me. It was the first time they worked with was with me. And so my thing is that, you know, I'm into giving back and working with new artists and putting them out and doing different stuff. So it ain't just about me, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like my whole team, like I gave, you know, 2-3 years ago, I'm giving my artists, you know, chains.
Don't you have a company?
Yeah, it's Ice King Music.
Ice King Music?
Yeah.
How many artists you got on there?
The Ice King Music, I got, five. I got about 5 artists.
Okay.
I got Sal the Moneymaker, Count Up Jern, Gates. Who else, man? I got a 50K. I got quite a few artists that I deal with that I put their music out. I'm consistently dropping projects and putting people on and giving them, you know, giving them this, you know what I'm saying, trying to be that OG in the game, just to put you on and give you a little help. Like, I take a random person I seen, I think they got qualities in them, and I just do a song with them and do a video and put them out. Like, that's how I am, like, random. Like, you be a random person. It gets to be a random person. This is all my feeling.
Sorry, I want to kind of piggyback on what you said earlier. So you said that it's pretending to filthy. You guys fell out, and then you guys, it was cool, and then the bitch-ass nigga kept talking about it, kind of brought it back up. Were you and Filthy today at this present? Were you guys cool, or you guys still have issues?
No, we good.
Okay. Yeah, and I was going to ask you that, too, because if somebody, not Filthy, but if anybody out there says, hey, fuck Kafani,
yeah,
and do a diss song about him, do you respond?
No.
Yeah, please.
Nah, I don't
respond. Yeah, be responsible.
I don't respond to nobody on no diss songs.
What would
you
tell artists that get into it or have an issue and they can't, or somebody that, like, was, y'all was cool or whatever? What would you advice you would give an artist when it comes to that?
Man, you know, a lot of times these artists is trying to, you know, go in for the publicity. For the publicity of the music, like hip hop was based on like competition.
Yeah, battling.
So you have battle and competition.
Yeah.
So I said, if you battle in competition, you got to just kind of keep your music. Because one thing I'm gonna tell you for sure, for all you youngsters out there right now, you cannot rap and beef. You can't be in the streets and be a rapper. You got to be one or the other.
I say that,
you know,
all the time.
So I tell artists, because I'm working with another artist, West Oakland. Dre West Oakland. I got a project coming out with him, working with him. You know what I'm saying? He's from Acorn. You know what I'm saying? And my family is from Camel Village. So you would think that pair ain't supposed to go. But I don't care about none of those politics. I'm beyond politics of Oakland and none of that. I'm bigger than that.
Yes.
Right.
I'm just Oakland. I don't care where you're from. I don't care where you're from in Oakland, which it is. I'm going to work with you.
But remember this. You can't only just say that. Those have to be your actions.
Yeah, and that's my actions that I'm doing right at this moment.
And that being said, we're going to end this interview, but I look forward to talking to you again to see your growth and development. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I appreciate you coming.
That's all good.
So check this out. We signing out with Kafani. Make sure you guys go subscribe and go like, comment, you know what I mean? And continue to support Keeping It 100 with Zoda Roaster and
Aisha Pooh. Yes. Funny, how can the people find you? What's your eyes, social media?
Oh, yeah, man. Y'all can go check me out at Instagram, Kafani. That's the main place where you need to, you know what I'm saying, if you want to see what's going on. And you know what I'm saying, right now, man, I got the line on that, on the cryptocurrency, man. We got the genius bot right now going crazy. You know what I'm saying?
You talking about NFTs?
Nah, I ain't talking about NFTs, man.
Cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency, but right now I got this thing going on. It's a bot. It's a trade. It's a metaphor trader. And
Is it legal?
Nah, it's legal. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all legal. Metaphor trader.
We're gonna talk about it.
Nah. Metaphor trader. The bot does the trading for you on the Forex market.
Right.
And the bot is pretty much 100% accurate on every trade for you.
Straight
they
up.
Do three trades a day, and they go in and you just compound the interest on your money, making it 7% a week.
Okay, well, we're going to make sure you guys get in contact with
so
the
make
brother.
Sure y'all hit me on DM.
Yeah,
and I'll put you on.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you about that though. Yeah, I love it. And god damn it, we're gonna see you again
for sure.
No doubt about it, man. Signing out. Peace. Love, peace, and air grease. All right.